G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm your host, Graham Curry, from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss now for over a year. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what that journey has been like. I also wanted to give you some information about intermittent fasting, talk to people that are doing it, and bring in some experts in the field, including some leading authors of some great books about the subject. Talk about the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the celebrations, the negatives, the positives, and everything in between. Nothing is a silver bullet, as they say, but intermittent fasting is about the closest thing that you can get to a perfect health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So sit back in the next few weeks and enjoy life on the fasting highway with us. Thank you. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 7. So today we're very fortunate to have with us Charlie Cifarelli. And Charlie is formerly from New York and now lives in Pennsylvania in the United States. Charlie started his career with the Department of Corrections and then ran his own refuse and trash business and is now a consultant. Charlie has just completed 365 days of clean fasting, and this is his second attempt at IF. After having a sort of few struggles last year, he regrouped, came back, and his journey so far has simply been amazing when you hear about the health benefits and the NSVs and some 70 pounds of weight lost in this 365 days of consecutive clean fasting. So here to tell us all about it today is Charlie Cifarelli. Oh, g'day, Charlie, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Graham.
Mate, we might start off with a bit of your backstory, if you don't mind, Charlie, and just what sort of problems you had with weight in your life and what led you up to finding intermittent fasting and how you actually found out about it.
Well, Graham, I've always been an eater.
So, join the club.
You know, it was fine when I was in school and I played sports and I was able to burn away the calories. But it was a steady progression after high school. The weight just kept piling on, and I just have tried every diet under the sun to try to maintain control and try to hide my weight at the same time by always having big, bulky clothes. So what occurred was I finally had got to a point where injuries were piling up. I had a right shoulder that was torn. I had a left shoulder that was torn. So both of my shoulders were torn. Now I couldn't do any exercise, and it got worse. And I wound up pretty much hitting the obese category. And at that point, you know, I was panicking, and it was pretty bad. And what occurred was the doctor told me that I needed two repairs on both shoulders. And if I didn't, I would need shoulder surgery. But my blood pressure, Graham, was sky high. I was running blood pressure of like 170 over 130.
Wow.
So I was in bad, bad shape. So I made my first attempt at intermittent fasting. I found the group in late 17 or 18, and I had some success early on, but I failed. I failed because I treated it as if it was a diet, and that's where I made my major mistake.
Yeah.
So I come back in September of 2019 with a whole new mindset. I asked a lot of questions this time. I was completely defeated as far as trying to ever think that I could manage my weight through a diet. The thought of dieting scared me. The thought of having limited amounts of food scared me. I lost a lot of emotional muscle because I was eating generally from the time I woke up till the time I went to bed. And it wouldn't be out of the norm to get a midnight snack after I went to bed at 10:30, 11, get back out of bed and have a snack and go back to bed again.
Yeah, I can resonate with that, Charlie. So when you came back to it in September 19, and you've just come up to your 365 days of fasting, and I wanted to congratulate you on that. But what did your weight look like when you came back in September 19 to now?
Well, my mother didn't recognize me. First of all, she didn't recognize me. Okay. I hadn't, my mother lives in Florida and she'd come up to the Northeast. She did not recognize me. Wow. I was in such bad shape, Graham, that I got sciatica in my hip, and it was so bad that I couldn't even walk barely. And then I went to the doctor for that, and they were talking about a hip replacement. I was in terrible, terrible shape. But I put all that aside, and I trusted the process. You see, I read, Jim kept on saying, to trust the process.
Yep.
And I looked and seen all the success stories. And I said, you know, before I even consider going to a doctor, before I consider anything, let me try this intermittent fasting one more time. Let me try it with a new plan. And the new plan this time was getting a notebook to take note, to look at my self-acceptance and take a look at my positives, which I know I can commit to something one day at a time. So that's what I said. I'll commit to this intermittent fasting for just one day, and I'll build on that. And that's what I did. I came aboard, and the first fast was 18 hours. And I got to tell you, Graham, when you're used to eating around the clock, I mean, it was pretty tough to go 18 hours. I mean, it was...
100%. It's
pretty tough.
It is. So was that your protocol you started with, 18 and 6, or did you sort of do that for a while? Or what sort of protocol were you looking at, and what did your window look like food-wise? Were you restricting foods at that stage, or were you just eating anything you craved?
I just, Graham, made the 18 hours, and I ate. And I worked for the Department of Corrections. I have a saying, hopefully I don't offend anybody, but I ate like I was going to the electric chair. When that window opened, I ate like there was no tomorrow. Pizza, ice cream. I ate a lot of food. And that was okay in the beginning. And I didn't know a few good things were going to happen, like appetite correction, like my body was going to start to crave different foods and whole foods. So the 18 and 6 rather quickly turned into 20 and 4. At that point.
Yep. So that's where we start getting that real good fat burning process, don't we, Charlie? Once we get over that 18-hour mark, I mean, 16 and 8 is a great place to start. And once you start moving into that 18, 20, 22-hour period, we really start maximizing that fat burning. And so, Charlie, at the start of your journey, you mentioned there that you did a bit of journaling and writing things down. What were some of the goals you set yourself? And how did you go about that?
Well, some of the goals that I set is each day I had the things I wanted to accomplish. So what that did for me was took the focus out of the kitchen. And it was simple goals, Graham. It was like when I was eating regularly, I'd pass an area of my acreage and I'd say, you know, one day I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to knock down those weeds. I started making small little goals of what I would do. And I started to do things other than eat. And it allowed the time to pass. And I started to burn up old reserves of calories. And I started to feel better and better about myself. And I could look at the paper, the journaling, and see I was accomplishing stuff. Although the mirror was not my friend in the first few months, Graham, the journal was the facts. And something that I don't hear anybody else talk about, and it confuses some people, I actually looked older in the first 3 months of intermittent fasting than I did actually when I started in September of 19. My hair almost went to white. My body went through a lot of changes.
Yeah. So, Charlie, when you first started, I always say, and it was interesting what you were just talking about, and when people see me and you're talking about your mother not recognizing you, I used to have that a fair bit from people that knew me fairly well. They'd walk past me in the street and I'd say hello to them and they'd just stare at me. They couldn't work out who I was. And then they'd say, "What the hell happened to you?" And I used to say to them, "I just found another hobby outside of eating." But mate, when you first started, did you do things like take your measurements and lots of photos for comparison? Because I think for beginners, that's really important. So you can sometimes if the scales aren't moving or you're not really seeing that weight loss that you want, the pictures tell a story.
Rim, I did take a number of photos. It was pretty tough early on. I was ashamed of the way I looked. And I got to tell you, Graham, this has been a very, very different than a diet. And I want to really preface this. This is a journey. And do you know food stopped me from living and put me on the sidelines? We have a decade or longer that I'm not in any family photos. I always was hiding from the camera. So it took a little while. And sometimes the group was not happy with me because I'd post a photo and the camera, the iPhone would be blocking my face. I had a lot of shame and guilt that I had to forgive myself with the food. I am finally out from behind the bushes or behind the curtains, as they say. And now, obviously, we had some laughs this week. I literally put a picture of myself in my briefs, which I would have never imagined at 55 plus years old, I would ever be able to look acceptable to myself to put a picture like that in, but I was able to do it.
I know, I saw that picture. You caused quite the stir, Charlie. And I got to say, mate, you look fantastic, unbelievable. And if I look like you, I'd be walking around in my briefs full time, mate.
You know, we've heard that you've liked labels and I've got to be a little bit of a label connoisseur now with my new body that I got through intermittent fasting. I still wear about a $3 pair of Fruit of the Loom underwear. I mean, I wear underwear that would be the same underwear as my great grandfather would have wore. But yes, the underwear did create a little bit of a stir. I guess I didn't look close enough and, so yes, that is, I'm actually a very modest guy and that took a lot of guts to post a picture of my briefs, but I did it for two reasons. One, it freed me, and Graham, I can never forget where I came from. I truly believe if I'm not accountable to the group and I'm not accountable through photos, I'll slide backwards. And that photo bought me an insurance policy in this wonderful, wonderful group and this way of life because I'm accountable now. I'm accountable.
I love that. Absolutely love that terminology, insurance policy. And I really resonate with that, Charlie. And even though I've been maintaining now for over a year after losing 130 pounds, I still stay really connected to those groups because I still need them and I need that, you know, support, and I need the inspiration of seeing other people on their journeys. And I just love everybody, whether they're successful or whether they're slow or whether they're fast, it doesn't matter. It's all about the fact that they're there and it's such a supportive group. And we're talking about the Delay Don't Deny groups that are run by Jim Stevens, who's the New York Times best-selling author. And funny enough, I was just talking to Jim yesterday about it, actually. Jin's coming up on the podcast in a couple of weeks and it was a real pleasure to talk to her. But those Facebook groups give people so much inspiration. And I think what you do, Charlie, is you're a bit like me, that you've come out of your shell and you talked about the clothing there. And that's a really important step to feel good in your own skin. And one of the things I really urge people to do, and you talked about you were wearing baggy clothes to try and hide your body and that sort of thing. As you start losing weight and your clothes become baggy, get rid of them. Don't keep them. Don't keep those "what about if I get fat again" clothes that we all used to do and put in our wardrobe and think, "Oh, I'm not going to chuck those out because I might need them again one day." You know what I mean? Yes. So I have that mindset as soon as my clothes were getting big on me. And I went through four wardrobes of clothes, Charlie. And yeah, they do call me the clothes horse. And I find it fun. And the thing is, Charlie, obesity used to choose my clothes and now I do, and I'm able to go and shop in nice clothes stores like you do, and it's fun.
It is absolutely fun, Graham. And I want to also I see the people that are new to the group. And one of the things I have to say is time takes time. And one time I had success in getting the weight off back in about 2005. I cut all the carbohydrates out of my diet and I got down to my goal weight. But here's the problem. Number one, I was miserable. Number two, nothing changed inside me. You see, the journey has changed now. I have a different relationship with food. Number one, I respect my body. I look at labels. I think, like you say, is this food worthy? And I actually finally take time to prepare a meal, to think about a meal. A meal has to have eye appeal. It has to be nutritious. Besides being able to fill me and give me the fuel for the next 22, 23, 24 hours, I have a completely different relationship with food. And that I did not have when I went on one of those low carbohydrate diets. And Graham, I want to laugh because with this new way of living, with intermittent fasting, number one, my complexion has gotten clear, which I always had skin problems. That's gone.
Amazing.
You talk about your psoriasis. I talk about acne. I had adult acne that cleared up. I went and got my hair cut yesterday. I didn't ask, but my barber says, what are you doing? Your hair is getting, my hair on top was so thinning, so receding. Graham, it's getting thicker. Then I laugh. What the other thing people ask, am I coloring my hair? Yes, I had to when it turned white. But the stuff that they have for men that you wash in, it was all over my hands. It was all over the shower. Jen wasn't going to put up with that. And I just gave up on that. My hair is looking exactly like it would back. My hair was pretty dark when I was 40, 45, 46, 47. It's back to that place. So
that's crazy.
These things that have occurred, the inflammation of my body, the pain is all gone. I don't even have to take an aspirin. So, and then I get asked a lot, do I have a gym membership? No, and that makes my Jen laugh all the time. I haven't seen the inside of a gym. It's got to be a decade or longer. I use only my natural body weight because remember, I have two torn shoulders that I've never had repaired. Granted, I probably can't get under a bench press, but I certainly can do push-ups. I can certainly do my own weight, which is sufficing me for enough muscle tone. And I'm not a kid no more. You know, I'm getting closer to 60 than I am 50 now. So I am very pleased with the amount of muscle tissue that I have on and where I'm going forward in this wonderful group.
You mentioned, Charlie, you played a bit of sport and that sort of thing. Were the injuries from sport or were they more work-related?
They were work-related. I was in the trash business, and I was a hands-on guy. Even though that I was the COO, CEO, there was nothing I'd ask anybody to do that I wouldn't do myself. And yeah. I wound up tearing the shoulders, taking a garbage can out of our fresh water pond that we had behind the facility, and I wound up tearing my shoulders. And it was probably because I was in such bad shape at the time.
Yeah. So, Charlie, also you talked about there, you just mentioned your partner. What was it like for your family and your friends? And did you sort of get many people making comments about intermittent fasting and that sort of thing, or most people fairly accepting of it?
Graham, here's what I really believe, and this is the best way. I think everything in life is attraction rather than promotion. I think that if you try to promote something without it being 100% sure in yourself, I don't think it has the same appeal. So what has happened now, which is really a big deal, is I don't know if you had this habit, but I would go out to dinner with my family and I was in my plate and everybody else's plate. Okay. That has stopped. So my eating habits have changed. I eat slower. I chew my food. So people are just naturally asking me questions. They're just naturally saying there's something different about me. And I don't think a diet would have ever done that. I mean, a diet would have never changed the way I approached food. And now people are asking me, Charlie, what are you doing? And I just basically tell them, and they get very interested in it. And I just tell them to start at a very comfortable level. There's no rush here, Graham. I tell people all the time, if you can only fast for 12 hours, do that for as long as it takes until it's comfortable, and then go to 12 hours and 15 minutes. We didn't get here in one day, and we're not going to get where we want to be in one day.
Yeah, I think that's a really important message too, Charlie, as to how you do portray this lifestyle to people. And a lot of people, they just come out of the blocks and they start shouting it from the rooftops, and people sort of tune out a bit to it. But I think what you're talking about there is, we say down here, you walk the walk, you don't talk the talk. And I found that people were gravitating towards me as they saw my results coming through. And I made that decision fairly early on that I was just going to let my results do the talking, because over the years, I'd said so many times to people, oh, I'm on this U diet or I'm on that diet, and I'd fail. And then they'd go, yeah, we told you so. So when I started intermittent fasting, and I thought in the first couple of weeks, there is really something so different about this, and it's really resonating with me, and I think I can do this. I just thought to myself, let my results do the talking. And the other thing I liked you just said there, Charlie, was you started to learn about mindful eating. And I think I was pretty much the same as you. I was a foodaholic, Charlie, of the highest caliber. Mm-hmm. I was the worst sugar addict going. I spent 3 or 4 times a day in the fast food drive-throughs. And I just had no off button with food. And what intermittent fasting did for me with appetite correction was it turned me into a mindful eater. I ate slower. I enjoyed my food. And I started to be able to taste it. And then I gravitated towards that higher quality food naturally. Did you find you started doing that, Charlie, getting towards the higher quality food?
It's the only thing that I'll put in my body now. And what I've noticed, Graham, is the two things I got from Delay Don't Deny Jin's book was this. First of all, the big thing that jumped out is she's fun. So it took away the intensity. So it made me reapproach my relationship with the intermittent fasting and go easy, and to listen to my body. Well, one of the most important things I made a decision early on was the clean fast. Because if I had a dirty fast, then I wouldn't be able to listen to my body. So I got that. So I listened to my body. And I have become so mindful, Graham, that I've learned that there's a difference between belly hunger and head hunger. And when I listen to my body, I realize my body is craving good stuff. And if I now put in a sugary dessert, it's going to make the next day fasting that much harder, because my body is going to reject that food and it's going to take me back to where it was originally. So with that said, I am going for the good stuff first. And people ask this question all the time. How do you break a fast? Well, I break a fast with very healthy fats, avocado, some oils. I lead in with a nice salad that has wonderful fixings, healthy almonds, some walnuts, again, some oil, vinegar. And I fill up on the good stuff first, which again is another insurance policy, because it leaves very little room for the desire to go grazing in the freezer or the refrigerator for something that's not healthy.
Yeah, and go on, man.
And I'm also mindful of the time. I have a window that's approximately 1 hour. And if I find myself, you know, just having been satisfied and still looking around, it's time to close that window, time to close shop and call it a day.
Yeah, I really like that, Charlie, what you just said then about how you open your window. You're really mindful about kicking that off with some higher fats and that sort of thing. And I find for me, that just takes the edge off for me. And I don't get that urge to just like eat everything in sight in that window time. And generally what I start off with, I have things like cheese, chorizo. I might have some crackers or things like that. And then I might have a coffee with some cream in it. And then generally I find that really takes the edge off for me. And then I might have a bit of a break. And then some days I might not do that. I might just go straight in and have one main meal and that's it. But what does OMAD look like for you, Charlie? You just mentioned there that that's how you like to start off. For me, it's more about most days, like going to a restaurant where you order an entree, then you have a main, and then sometimes you have a dessert. You might close with coffee and a cheese platter. And I know, even though during the week now in maintenance, I do a 22-2 protocol, but that 2 hours doesn't necessarily mean that I eat for 2 hours. And we need to stress that as well. If you're doing a 20-4, it doesn't mean you just sit there and eat for 4 hours. When did you start learning, Charlie, about getting that signal? You know how we get that satiety signal where you just go, wow, okay, bang, that's enough.
Yes. Well, it's been a process. Number one, it's been a process. And number two, you know, Graham, I like to say this to you. I rescue a lot of dogs. I think you know about that. I rescue a lot of dogs.
Yes, amazing.
I get some of the dogs from the worst scenarios known to man. And I noticed that the canines are very receptive to two things, love and consistency and a schedule. So I noticed that the dogs start slowing down with their food. They relax more. They're not guarding their plate. And literally that has happened for me. I finally, you know, have gotten to the point where I'm relaxed. So let's just say, and I dinner time is at 6 o'clock. I open with some fats. I have a very big salad. I'm not shy on the lettuce. I mean, I have a big salad. Then onto some proteins. And I decide if I need some carbohydrates, I feel that carbohydrates needed. I feel like it's just needed. I'll have a yam. I generally don't eat breads. I won't waste the calories on bread. I don't think that's not something I really want to have. If I wanted to have it, I would, but I generally have carbohydrates that I know that I'll use better. Even a mashed potato, a white potato would be better than bread. I would be able to burn that better. So I have that. I might have soup also. And if there's room and I want sherbet, I've even gotten pickier with my desserts. There was a time that I was just happy with vanilla ice cream with whipped cream on top of it. You know, now I want sherbet. I want certain gelato. I want certain desserts. And if I want it, I have it. If I don't, I don't. But what I do is, and I hear a lot of people that are new, they ask, how do you go from your meal to bedtime without snacking? Well, number one, Graham, I've learned this. I have to have enough calories. If I don't have enough, two things will happen. I feel as though my metabolism will go on vacation, and then I'll not be comfortable. So after my meal, I generally go to bed about 5 hours later. I go to bed about midnight. So my meal finishes at 7. I do mindful stuff after dinner. I keep busy. I'm a documentary guy. I like to watch documentaries. I'll do a little reading. I got the dogs. I'll work on projects. I'll go to bed. So I get
With you going to bed at midnight, Charlie, what sort of time do you wake up in a day, the next day?
I'm not embarrassed to say this. I'm a guy that needs 8 hours of sleep. I get up about 8 hours later. I get up 8 hours later and I start my day.
Yep.
And I start my day. So the listeners know, I've worked my whole life incredibly a lot. And I sold the trash business. And I'm using this time right now to really work on myself, do some consulting work now for other businesses. But I have the time to really work on myself now. When I get up, I'm greeted by a lot of my rescued dogs that are ready to have my full attention. And I do that and keep busy. And I don't even think about food. I get up in the morning. I don't even think about food. I think about black coffee. I've learned to be really a lover of black coffee. And I never thought, ever thought I would like black coffee that's cold. Now I drink black coffee that is cold. And before I know it, it's 12 o'clock. And 12 o'clock is my time to get on my spin bike. And that has been one of the greatest things that I've gotten in the last couple of months. I bought a spin bike, and I didn't buy the most expensive one because I didn't know if I'd like it. I bought a spin bike for about $400. A Sunny. I wound up reading the reviews, and I get on that anywhere from 3 to 5 days a week for 45 minutes, and that's my time. So I do
that.
So
is that the main exercise that you do each day, Charlie? Do you do any weights or anything like that?
I don't do any weights, but I do push-ups 3 days a week, pull-ups. And the other exercise that I have fallen in love with, Graham, at 55 plus, is sprints. I have dog runs for the dogs, and I sprint. And I do that several times a week. And I just tell you, that has given my legs so much muscle, given my core so much strength. And I think it's really enhanced my metabolism. So that would be my favorite exercise I do, is sprints.
And Charlie, I wanted to just touch on, what about things like blood work? Do you get them done by your doctor, and have they changed much, or you haven't really been in?
I'm glad you asked that. I would have forgot. You know, it's one thing to say you're healthy. That's one thing to say it. But show me the proof, okay? My blood work was so terrible, and we talked about it earlier in the conversation, and my blood pressure. I had my blood work checked a couple months ago. Number one, my HDLs are wonderful. I mean, I think they're pushing 90, 88 or 90. My LDLs are very, very low. There's something called a C-reactive protein. I'm just marginally even registering anything on that, where I used to be at a ratio that was very dangerous. They took another test for my prostate. I think it's a PSA, which they glowing reviews there, the doctor said. So my blood work is unbelievable. And my blood work's never been good. I've always been a chronically high cholesterol guy, chronically high triglycerides. I'm always ran higher blood pressure. And my resting pulse now is in the 50s.
Wow, that's amazing, Charlie. I just wanted to wind back a bit to what you said about the hair and the skin. You mentioned psoriasis there. I had chronic psoriasis, and I've mentioned this a few times now, and it completely disappeared after 6 months. And I'd been to several specialists over the years, Charlie. I had it for 20 years on the backs of my hands, my knees, my elbows. And no matter what I did or what treatment I received, I couldn't get rid of it. And then I noticed after about three months of intermittent fasting, it was starting to fade. And by the 6 month mark, it's completely cleared. And my skin has never been better. And with the hair, I'm the same, mate. My hair is getting thicker. And people say to me, what are you doing to your hair? It just seems to be getting thicker all the time. And I'm forever going to the barbershop to get haircuts. And it's really bizarre. And with the color, I have got a bit of salt and pepper. The old gray's coming through. But I'm pretty sure my hair color has been retained as well. And I'm never fails to amaze me hearing these stories. And the other thing, Charlie, was my eyesight had improved. I went to get some glasses one day, and the guy said to me, your eyes have improved by about 10%, which is really weird for your age. And he said, what do you do? What's your diet look like? And I said, well, I do this thing called intermittent fasting, which hear you all about. And he said, well, that's really interesting, because I've had other people come in here that have had similar things. And if you went out and said to people, hey, do intermittent fasting, your eyesight will improve, your hair will get thicker, they think you're crazy. And they just say, oh, you know, that's just stupid even making those claims. But it happens.
It does happen, Graham. And, you know, people have even said that the photos have got to be photoshopped. People are being, did your hair, they make almost like, I don't know if they're being serious or sarcastic. Your hair's growing in, your hair's not gray no more. I think us guys take a lot more shots on the chin on these groups than some people. I've taken a few shots, you know, as far as even if someone did color their hair, you know, great that they're doing that. They're taking stock in themselves, and they're feeling good about themselves.
Grandma, yeah, that's important too, that when you do put yourself out there a bit with the groups, and it's important to get in a group that's got a good positive vibe, like the one we're in, the Delay Don't Deny groups, where these sorts of things get taken out pretty quick, and it's only positivity, and which is great, because if you're in this lifestyle, you want to be able to get that motivation, you want to remain positive. And I know I've been in some other fasting groups where I've posted pictures and have said things like, oh, you're still fat, or you know, those photos are fake, or there's no way you could have lost. That's not the same person. And yeah, I know exactly what you mean, Charlie. But if I had to say to you, how did IF really enhance your life the most? And how do you think it's helping now with your work life? Do you get things like better mental clarity and energy with your work?
Graham, first off, you got to realize this. Prior to this, I was a private guy. The fact is, my eating had to be that bad that I had to go to a public forum. That's how bad it was, because I could not be bothered anymore with food. I don't know about anybody else. I always keep the focus on myself. I don't assume anything. But my eating was, I was hopeless. I was a hopeless, chronic, grazing guy that could not, you know, you hear about people that like to gamble and they'll destroy their lives. I couldn't stop eating. So the IF gave me a life. My family's got me back. My relationship with everything, with nature. Graham, I live on an acreage. I got bears passing me by like commuters. I got a photo on my personal Facebook where I'll post it again, where a big black bear, 650 pounds, Jen Storm passing right by me. I don't offer a threat to anything. I'm at peace. And that's something that's nice. And that's, I've made peace with myself. And how do I know I made peace with myself? I have the most restful sleep at night. I'm okay with my lot in life. I'm not looking at anybody else's lot in life and wanting to be them. And even if I have someone that doesn't get along with me, I'm well enough now to say, you know what? I probably did something to annoy the person. You know, there's nothing I could do except say I'm sorry. So I've gotten a peace from the IF. Mental clarity. I could almost read minds some days, you know. And the one other thing I want to say is that it's amazing. Here's something else that's interesting. I recently sat down with a legendary filmmaker, David Hoffman, to do that documentary, who's done documentaries with very famous people, B.B. King and you name it, he's done it, Oliver Stone. He did a story on me and my dog. But he kind of wondered where I'd been for 8 years since the story happened. I couldn't go in front of a camera. I would have been embarrassed to go in front of a camera. I finally was able to do that, Graham. As you know, I think you mentioned that you watched it. So this is some of the stuff that's happened, that I have my life back, that I had enough courage to put on my Fruit of the Looms and take a photo.
Yeah, I love it.
I've avoided the beach for 20 some odd years, not no more.
Yeah, I know, Charlie, and I resonate so much with what you're saying. And I'm just throbbing this conversation because what you're saying is almost a carbon copy of what's happening with me and has happened. The beach, mate, I love the beach. I lived near the beach. I had a beach house for many years up north here at Perth, and I absolutely love it. It's my happy place. But did I walk around without a shirt on? Very rarely, mate. And now, yeah, I walk around without my shirt on because I can, and I'm not embarrassed about it. And it's the same when I go to the local swimming pool, Charlie. I would never go to the swimming pool because I didn't like people looking at me when I was obese. And now I don't care. I just go down and I take my shirt off and I'm just like everybody else and nobody looks at me. And when you're obese, I used to feel like everybody was looking at me. And one of my greatest fears, Charlie, was flying. I've done a lot of traveling around the world in my life. And I know the look of fear on people's face. You'd walk down that plane aisle and they'd all look at you and think, man, I hope he doesn't go and sit next to me because he's one big guy. And now I never get that. And I just feel like I just fit in.
Yes, yes. And these are the things that happen. And it's just incredible. And it's really, really important to let people know that we can identify with them. And the other thing I want to make you laugh is, I'm a comical guy, and I don't mean to be, but Joe Cross, I remember when he came out with that movie, Fat Nearly Dead, I loved the guy because I was juicing. So I went out and bought the most expensive juicer. I had all the vegetables, and I was juicing and juicing and juicing. Here's the thing. Any diet is a diet. I'm not here for a diet. I'm here for a lifestyle. And the lifestyle I have is I want to live. I want to be happy, joyous. I want to live. And I look at food now as a refueling station. And I respect food and I respect myself. And I've learned to have a healthy relationship with food and to taste my food. I would have never done a diet. And I also laugh when people tell me now, Charlie, did you ever consider the 6 small meals a day to equal 2,000 calories? Are you kidding me? I'd want all the meals together and eat them all at one time. And this has truly, truly been the only way. I would never consider another way of another lifestyle. I don't even want to ever say this is a diet. Like you always say, it's a side effect of weight loss. And that's happened. And, you know, there's been so much change that's happened with me that Jen Stevens doesn't know this. Well, I told her this, but she doesn't know this until she hears this. She gave me a new lease on life by her being the founder of this, by her writing that book. That was music to my ears. When newcomers come and they want the answers, it's all in that book. Yeah. And you know what happens? A guy like myself that's personable, I go back out in this life and I impact and I'm able to do things. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was a guy that was just sitting on the couch feeling sorry for myself. And I couldn't figure my way out of this. I figured my way out of a lot of things in life. This was one thing I couldn't get around. Because unlike drinking, unlike gambling, unlike drugs, chronic eating is perfectly legal. And you can do it in the privacy of your home legally. And you can do it from the time you wake up till the time you go to bed. And you can really hurt yourself. And no one will tell you to stop. So,
yeah, that's true, Charlie. And I know I was a really bad closet eater as well. I used to hide in my car. I'd be one of those guys at the office and people would bring in the cakes and it'd be a party or something. And I'd be sitting in my own office and I'd go, oh, no, I don't eat cake and I don't eat this. And yeah, I ate the cake all right. I used to wait till I went home and then I'd go and get the leftovers from the fridge. And then on the way home, I'd stop at the drive-thru and get some more before I had my dinner. And yeah, there was just completely no control. And that's what you mentioned Jen there in the book. And Jen's latest book, Fast, Feast, Repeat, I feel is the most comprehensive book on intermittent fasting I've ever seen or ever likely to see. And you and I both discovered Jen's first book, Delay, Don't Deny.
Yes.
And that's always going to be my favorite because it's like your first love, Charlie. You know, you read that book and I found it so simple. And when I was talking to Jen last night about it, and I said, Jen, and the thing about interviewing Jen for this podcast was I thought to myself, how am I going to sit there for an hour and not break down talking to somebody that basically saved my life, that did save my life and changed my life? And my wife, and she says to me all the time, she says, that lady is such a game changer for people and saves so many people. It's just fantastic.
Yes. You know, she has it all because, number one, her approach to this, then the simple thing of listen to your body. You know, I started listening to my body and not my head. And the result for me has been, it's been beyond incredible. You know, Graham, and I think that me and you can ID with each other. Do you know when me and Jen would go to dinner at someone's home, I had to pre-eat because I had to ensure that I have enough food. And one time I didn't. And we went to a couple's home that had very small portions. It was the hardest thing I could do. All I was thinking about is going for second portions. And I was really in a bad spot. And now it's just like so relaxed around food. And I got something from each and every one of the people that have been posting and the people that I reached out for. Jerry talked about he does 11 push-ups. Sadly, when I came to the program, I couldn't even do a push-up. I had to use my knees. I mean, that was that busted up. And slowly but surely, I built this body back. So I think the message I like to put to people is it's at your own pace. Time takes time. There's no rush, and your part, the weight loss is a side effect. And I will say this, if you were able to snap your fingers and get all the weight off today for most people, they would not have changed what got them in that situation in the first place. So it's an inside job. It's really not an outside job. We look in the mirror and we say we don't like what we look like, but it's really bigger than that. That's just a symptom of the eating. It's really internal turmoil that, for me, turned into a lot of extra weight that put me in the obese level. So I made peace with myself so far, got a new relationship with food, and I got some other benefits with clear complexion. My hair's growing back. It's not white anymore. I don't have to mess up the shower with those cheap dyes. And I'm at peace, and I get the best sleep. And I also hear people put a lot of questions out, messages. Yes, I went through a lot of sleepless nights early on. I did. My body was going through a lot of changes. My body didn't know, is this just another one of these diets this guy's on? Is how long is he going to keep this up with? We'll wait it out. Eventually, I started getting the best restful sleep. Eventually, I came into my own.
Yeah, I know that. One of the things my wife loves about it is that I was a chronic snorer, Charlie, when I was obese. And I used to keep her up all night with my snoring. And now she says, you never snore. She said, you just don't snore. She said, I never hear you during the night. You sleep so peacefully. And, you know, I might get up a couple of times. You know, I'm a 57-year-old guy. So, yeah, I still get up a couple of times to visit the bathroom. But my sleep in general has improved so much. And that's been another NSV. And we talk about that. And weight loss is the side effect of intermittent fasting, Charlie. And to be honest with you, the psoriasis leaving my body was a bigger thrill than anything else. And if somebody said to me, if you had only got rid of the psoriasis but not the weight, would you be happy? And I'd say, yeah, I'd be ecstatic, because the psoriasis was something that really held me back in my life. I was embarrassed about it. I used to go to business meetings and I used to hide my hands under the table. And I always used to have people commenting on it. And people that knew me really well, and then they hadn't seen me for a while, they'd say, how did you get rid of all that psoriasis that you had? And then I'd tell them, and they'd start thinking to themselves, that sounds interesting. But when I'm talking about friends and family, I mentioned to Jen the other night, when I was talking to her, some of my friends had a weight loss intervention. They thought that I was losing too much weight, and they were all bagging IF and all the rest of it. And now I find I'm actually helping two of those guys with intermittent fasting. Do you find, Charlie, that you've got quite a number of people in your circle now that you're sort of helping with IF or that are doing it around you?
Yes, because they see how it's working for me. And I have guys from all kinds of backgrounds that are doing it. And the most important thing, and people like hearing this, you can be happy at any weight. If you're doing this, it's not about the weight. Respect the scale, but not everyone's going to have, you know, a picture perfect body that you're going to see in a magazine. And what I explain to people is it's a process, and they like that. And I have a lot of people reaching out to me now, friends that I've had for years that know that I've made a change. They've seen me on my personal Facebook page. And they say, Charlie, look, you know, what are you doing? I just explain it to them. And next thing I know, they're jumping on board. So that's really makes me feel good that we're impacting other lives. And look at the happiness we have in this group. I look forward to it every day to get up and see what people are doing, who's new, who's celebrating, who's got an NSV. I mean, I've gotten people from as far away. Muhammad from Syria has helped me. Jerry's helped me. I mean, there's people all over that are helping each other. Now I'm going to give it back. I mean, I've made my goal weight and then some. I'm in the maintenance phase now, and I'm here to give back whatever I've learned.
And what's your maintenance plan now, Charlie? What sort of protocol are you doing maintaining, and what are you looking like doing going forward?
You know, I'm going to take it one simple fast at a time. That's number one. Take it one fast at a time. I've never done this. This is something interesting, Graham. I've never told myself that I got to make 23 hours a day. I won't do it. I use the Zero app. The Zero app completes me at 20 hours. If I make 20 hours, I'm good. That gives me at least a 3 or 4 hour window mentally. Although I don't break fast at 20 hours, it's a nice feeling that I've made that bar. There's no pressure after that. Anything after that is, like they say, gravy. Well, that might be a bad term with this, but I've made the 20 hours. Going forward, and I've talked with this with Jen, and I've definitely talked to myself with this, I'm going to be a nomad guy. I just really don't know if I could ever be someone that has more than the one meal, two separate occasions, you know, where there's a beginning and an end to a meal, and then a break. Then there's another beginning and an end to a meal. One of the things that has happened for me, and Jen talks about this a lot, is appetite correction. So I didn't get so much appetite correction where Charlie can't sit down to a 3,000 calorie meal. I can easily do that. And people say, well, how do you do that? Well, with the two avocados is 500 calories right there, and a bulletproof coffee is about 400. There's 900 right there. But what I have learned is this. After I eat, I've had appetite correction. I don't want to eat again for 20 hours or more. I'm just done. It doesn't appeal to me. So I shut the window. So going forward, to answer your question, I like the safety of that window. When I hit that zero app and I start fasting, my mind goes from eating to living. And chronic grazer has got to do that. I got to do that. I got to go from eating to living. And as soon as I hit that button, I'm back in the living mode, and I love it. And I feel so clean when I fast. That's the other thing we don't talk about. I couldn't shower enough when I was a chronic grazer. I stay clean, my skin looks healthy, and my kitchen is clean. I like the fact that, you know, when I was always eating, my kitchen was always open, and it was just crazy. And it's just so nice now where the kitchen has an opening and a closing. And Jen has jumped on this also, although she's not as rigid as I am, but, you know, she basically does probably 16 hours a day. She's a recruiter, a medical recruiter, so she's busy working and long hours at home. She works from home, thank goodness. And our life is working really well right now, and I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. And my wife's similar to that as well, and she isn't as diehard as what I am, but I know for myself, maintaining was a whole new mindset. Now I've been doing that over a year, and I seem to have it under control. And I just know one of the things I've always loved was the weekends. I love breakfast on a Saturday morning, reading the paper, whatever it may be. But now I just do that later on the weekends. So I do a 16 and 8. So I can go and have breakfast at a cafe with my wife. And then some days, most days on the weekend, I don't actually have the second meal, because I don't feel like it. And then I just usually am happy with that. But I think after a while that you've been maintaining with this lifestyle, and then I sort of do weigh every day. And I was going to ask you about that. But why I weigh every day is because I have a okay relationship with the scales. It doesn't worry me. I mean, I know I'm going to fluctuate a little bit. And I've sort of only varied between 2 and 4 pounds in the last year anyway. And so after the weekend, I know I'm going to get on a Monday and I'm going to be up a couple of pounds. And Charlie, you wouldn't believe the number of people that will contact me on the Monday, or they'll send me an email and they'll say, oh my God, I'll put on 5 pounds over the weekend. You know, I thought this intermittent fasting was all right. And I'll say, listen, you can't put on 5 pounds of fat over the weekend. No. You know, what's happened is you've just got a bit of water retention. Just go back to doing what you're doing. And we talk about alternate day fasting, and I had a really interesting conversation with Rachel Arwood, who lives in Cairo in Egypt, who's also coming up on the podcast to talk about ADF. Did you do many extended fasts, Charlie, or is that something that interests you, or are you happy with what you're doing?
I did a 48-hour fast. I've done those, and what I've come with is that I really appreciate those fasts, the longer ones. And I mean, for some people, 48 hours isn't even that long. And they're very spiritual. They're very freeing. What I have learned through all this is that I got to keep it as simple as possible. And I'm looking to create new habits. And my body's been through a lot, Graham, in this year. It's been through a lot. And a little is more. And I want to just say this. A lot of people miss the boat with this, and they say, Charlie, how much weightlifting do I got to do? How much? Little goes a long way. So I'm not going to do anything beyond what I'm doing right now. I do weigh myself every day. I weigh myself at the same time. That keeps me honest. I also, in my journal, I write down everything I eat every single day. I don't count calories, but I still put everything down so that I'm accountable and I look at that. And it's any time that I have spent doing extra work like journaling has paid me back huge dividends. And I'm just thinking one other thing that I get asked a lot. People ask me about a keto diet, and I'm never going to say anything's bad because all diets can work, but I'm not on a diet. But what I would say is I like food too much to be wondering if I'm in ketosis, out of ketosis. Is this going to throw me out? What I've learned and I take from our founder is listen to my body. And if my body needs some carbohydrates, it's going to get some carbohydrates. If I'm craving some protein, it's going to get some protein. I become very, very intuitive with the fasting because I become mindful. My consciousness has risen and my awareness is incredible. So I am going to follow what my body says I need to do. And I know I'm a little long-winded on this. And the last thing, I don't know if you've noticed this, Graham, but I've been able to identify belly hunger from head hunger. It's incredible. If I get a stressful conversation on the phone, if something's not going my way, within moments, I'm starving. And now I can laugh. After a year plus, I laugh and go, oh, isn't that interesting? I'm hungry after having a business conversation didn't go my way or this didn't go. I am well adjusted enough to now to pause, to relax, to get away from the kitchen, to even take myself some days and put my feet up and just pause. This group has taught me how to take care of myself. If things are going bad, I start my day over because I don't want to make something bad worse by opening up that refrigerator and going back to the old lifestyle.
Oh, that's fantastic. I really love that message, Charlie. And I think I agree with everything you said there. And you do have to listen to your body. And we also need to be non-judgmental of anybody. And I want to make that clear here on the Fasting Highway. No matter what we discuss here, we respect everybody's choices. We keep our eyes on our own plate.
Oh, I love it.
I do endorse the clean fast, absolutely. To me, if you're not clean fasting, you aren't fasting. And I just had a couple of beginners on early in this podcast, Charlie, and nearly everybody I talk to has either started dirty fasting and then they switched on to the clean fasting, whether they found out about it through Jin's groups or her books or somewhere else. And the differences are undeniable. And I say to people, look, it's like just having that break from food and just allowing your body to take out, and you'd like this, Charlie, take out the trash. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you take out that trash, you regenerate your cells, and then you refeed your body with something nutritious, and then you start again. And the process is over and over. And your body just gets that time to rest. Our organs get time to rest. And we're not constantly spiking our insulin. We're not constantly banging away at our organs and our kidneys. And you and I both were doing that for all those years and nonstop eating and going to the drive-thrus and the fast food. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Charlie, before we wrap it up, is I was an addict pretty much like yourself, right? And then you mentioned you had a crack at IF and you didn't do that well and then you came back to it. I sort of got over the addiction of sugar and fast food before I came to fasting, and there wasn't really any plan in that. I just didn't know about fasting at the time. And I felt, looking back, that I really adapted to intermittent fasting so well, straight from the go-get, because I'd got through that addiction by addressing it. Do you think in that first round, if you had addressed all the problems you had with food and sugar and everything else and overeating, that it would have been easier for you?
I don't think I was ready, Graham, to be perfectly honest, because the second time around, and I remember contacting Jin, I was still the second time, which is the real time now that I am got the year 367 consecutive fast. I came in sloppy and dirty food this time, but what I did was my mindset changed, and I clean fasted. And what I've learned is more will be removed. More will be removed. I did my part. I did the fast. I've heard Jerry say this, the fast is the workout. I focused on the clean fast. That's all I was worried about. And everything else got better. And I wasn't able to come to IF with a cleaner dietary because I was so addicted to sugar. I was so addicted to bad fats. And I was so addicted to carbohydrates that I just had to come in here the way I came in here. I mean, that photo of me when I first came in, I was swollen incredibly. So clean fast, more was removed, and I stayed focused.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Charlie. And I think you're going to be such a shining light for this lifestyle. And you mentioned Jerry there, JJ, John Saunders. He is the master of mindset. And if anybody wants to hear about mindset, I've actually got Jerry coming up on the show too in a couple of weeks. And that's what we're going to talk about for the majority of the show. But Charlie, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is talking to you today. But before we go, I really want you just to run us through and tell us the tale about your dog and how people can watch that YouTube video, because it's one of the most inspiring stories I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, so in 2012, they can look on Wikipedia, Star the Dog, Wikipedia, dog, a homeless man from Poland had a dog. He had a seizure. His dog went into a protective mode, and the police had to shoot the dog. And the dog died. As far as everybody's concerned, the headlines were the dog died. And for some reason, I didn't believe the dog died. I was not a big dog advocate. I was just a regular guy in my trash business in the middle of the country in Nebraska. And I just did not believe the dog died. And I called the city of New York up, and they let me know the dog actually started to have a pulse, and they rushed it to the emergency room, and the dog survived. And I wound up adopting the dog. And just recently, the documentary maker, David Hoffman, he's got a YouTube channel also. He created a story about Star and me, and it's a story, dog comes back to life to save man. And that's basically the story of the dog and me, because the dog re-educated me spiritually and gave me different life values. Because at one time, I wasn't doing good as a young man, like her original owner. And I wound up getting a new lease on life. And I thought I was quite successful. When people watch the story, they'll say I had it all. I mean, I had a very successful trash business. And this story shook me to the core, and it really changed my life. And I think right now, especially if people are out there and they have problems with addiction or they have problems with depression, this can really help them. And I'm just very, very proud of the work. And Graham, that's how me and you connected from this. And the title is The Luckiest Dog That Ever Lived Came Back to Life.
Yeah. So,
The Luckiest Dog That Ever Lived Came Back to Life. And it's really I believe it's a heartwarming story. I, you know, it's about my dog now. And
I think it's incredible, mate. And I know we're animal lovers ourselves. We have horses here and we do have a dog as well. And we know how much joy we get from them. But I would really suggest to anyone that wants to see I mean, we've had so much bad news this year in 2020. Do yourself a favor and go and see this story about Charlie and his dog. It's amazing. But Charlie, I need to wrap it up now, mate, but I would really love to get you back on the show because I've got so much more I want to talk to you about. And I'm really, really appreciative of you joining us here. And thank you for joining us on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you, Graham. Big hugs.
Big hugs to you too, brother. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye.
Wow. That was simply fantastic. I so enjoyed that chat with Charlie. What an amazing, inspiring man. And what a journey so far he's been on. And Charlie really rammed home the point there about this journey isn't all about the weight loss, the health benefits and the NSVs that he's found along the way. And finding that peace with himself is absolutely fantastic. So next week, we're going to have on the show the amazing Jin Stevens. Jin is the New York Times best-selling author of Fast Feast Repeat and is also the author of Delay Don't Deny and the founder of the Facebook groups of the same name. And Jin has become one of the preeminent experts on intermittent fasting, and she joins us next week here on the Fasting Highway. Until then, thank you for joining us. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.